You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Here at Cap Radio, we often ask our listeners, readers, and viewers about the issues that matter most to them. When we ask, they tell us a variety of things, from wildfires to COVID to economic and racial justice. But for the past few years, the number one issue consistently and almost universally has been homelessness and housing affordability. Joining us now are Cap Radio's Nick Miller and Chris Nichols. Nick leads the newsroom, and Chris is our Sacramento reporter, who also focuses on the unhoused community and housing issue. Nick, good morning. Nice to see you in studio.
It's so good to be here.
All right. So you don't often join us on Insight, but I know you're here today to discuss a new project at Cap Radio that we've really been working on for, well, a while now, I think nearly a year. So this project focuses on communities in North Sacramento's and areas in City Hall known as District 2, right?
That's right. And this is a unique project. And honestly, in my journalism career, something I haven't really been a part of before. And it all started with sort of this driving question of, like, which communities in Sacramento are we not serving? Who are we, you know, quite honestly, who's being ignored? And not just by Cap Radio, but by media outlets all over the region, right? And so we looked closely at some of the data for our membership, some of our audience data. And we started focusing on District 2 in North Sacramento. And I'm talking about the communities of Del Paso Heights, Hagenwood, Strawberry Manor, Robla. I used to work in North Sacramento on Del Paso Boulevard. I used to spend a lot of time in these communities. So I have an affinity for the residents in these neighborhoods, the restaurants, the places people like hang out and eat and drink. And so I was real excited that we were going to say, hey, we're going to, with intent, spend some time in these neighborhoods listenings. We did, starting almost a year ago, we started doing a survey of residents in these communities. And we also started holding some virtual listening sessions. And this was led by our team member, Jessica Maria Ross. And Vicky, we learned a lot. Again, even like the places folks love to eat and hang out, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, you and I were talking about restaurants in North Sacramento, and I was talking about one on Del Paso Boulevard, Colo's Soul Food.
That's right.
It was a new restaurant that opened up just before the pandemic, and I remember meeting the owner, Tamara McCree, and obviously, like most small businesses, was just slammed financially. They have the best food, and they have grown in the 2 years since. I highly recommend their smothered fried pork chop. It is fantastic.
That actually sounds, yeah, I'm vegan, but that sounds good for breakfast right now, too. And that's interesting you mentioned Colo's, because I was on an email chain with some of the community advisory residents we've been talking to for the past year. And that was one of the restaurants that they mentioned as the places they go to, they love to support. There's also this sentiment among the residents that, like, you know, Midtown, downtown gets a lot of attention for their restaurants. Even in South Sacramento, Little Saigon gets a lot of attention. But they're like, hey, here in North Sacramento, we have all these places. We have Colo's. They mentioned Hot Off the Griddle. They mentioned Lucky Express on Willow Street. There's a new J-Spot Grill. Everybody seems to go to this place called Shift Coffee. And I guess they have snacks and food. And it's like the hot little coffee shop that serves District 2. And then, of course, Tori's Place, which is famous near Grant High School for their fried chicken. And they have this fantastic Flatiron cornbread that's just like buttery. And like,
I love cornbread. Yeah. All right, you're getting me hungry. Now we got a little sidetracked to food and places that residents love to eat. But Nick, I mean, we're talking about people who have been neglected or ignored in news coverage. So can you peel back the journalistic curtain a little bit? What went into building relationships and ultimately trust with residents?
Well, it started with the survey, and then we just started meeting every month with a group or a cohort of residents. You know, we invited them to join us on Zoom. We did just icebreaker type exercises. I joined these meetings. Some of our reporters, like Pauline Bartolone, Janelle Salunga, they came to the meetings, and they came consistently month after month to just make face and listen and sort of cultivate a relationship with these residents and not just hear their concerns. And, you know, but obviously residents had a lot to vent about. You know, I think the story that Chris Nichols published on our website today is rooted in one of the most critical pieces of feedback that we got from the community, is that we feel like, or the residents of North Sacramento feel like, they are a dumping ground for homelessness challenges and solutions in Sacramento. And I've actually witnessed that over the years. I mean, it's no secret that one of the first emergency homeless shelters opened on Railroad Road in North Sacramento, just north of the American River. We know that, you know, some of the biggest, most contentious battles for affordable housing solutions, and Chris reported on this, have been because they were proposed in District 2, you know, near Old North Sacramento on Arden and Del Paso. But, you know, the residents say, hey, where are the, you know, the affordable housing solutions, the homelessness shelters in Midtown, downtown, in Land Park, in East Sacramento, in the Pocket, right? So that's sort of like a chorus of feedback we've been hearing, you know, through these meetings. And it's exciting this week to actually, you know, deliver some reporting that's rooted in those conversations, in those things that we heard, and sort of connect the dot and that through line back to the listening that we've done over the past year.
Yeah, amplifying those voices. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about a CAP Radio community series this week that really is the culmination of nearly a year of conversations with North Sacramento. All right, let's bring in Chris Nichols into the conversation now. He's been CAP Radio's lead journalist reporting on unhoused community and homelessness solutions. Chris, in your time as a reporter, what have you observed and seen as it relates to North Sacramento and homelessness?
Hey, Vicki, good morning. You know, I have heard those same concerns about North Sac being a dumping ground for the city's homelessness problems. And really, homelessness is a problem that residents feel has only gotten worse in recent years in North Sac. I spoke this spring with Deborah Cummings, a community leader from Del Paso Heights, and she believes that homeless people got pushed out of downtown Sacramento to the city's northern neighborhoods. She said this took place around the time of the development of the Golden One Center, and she said it continues today. But to solve the problem of homelessness, North Sac leaders told me they want to take a hard look at existing services and shelters in the area to see what's working and what's not working. And they don't want to rush into adding more shelters unless and until there's some really smart and community-oriented planning that takes place first.
Chris, your story just published this morning, which looks closely at the most recent episode of North Sacramento residents pushing back against affordable housing or homelessness solutions. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a story about homeowners in an upscale neighborhood in North Sacramento called Woodlake. And it's a small, single-family neighborhood with quiet streets, nice, charming, older homes. And it's right next to Woodlake Park. It details their opposition to a five-story affordable housing complex, one that's planned right next to the park and the former state armory. Nearly everyone I spoke with in the neighborhood told me that they support creating more affordable housing in general. They realize Sacramento has this severe lack of that kind of housing, but they also felt that this was a project that was too large, too dense, and would overwhelm their neighborhood. It would clog their streets with traffic. It would create huge parking hassles. I spoke with Woodlake homeowner McCullough Griffin.
It's not that this neighborhood or people in this neighborhood are against affordable housing. I want to make that very clear. And it's a little frustrating and insulting that, you know, it's been seen that this neighborhood, that's what we're against. What we're against is having any apartment complex, whether it is affordable housing, you know, luxury apartments in a very small area.
And this is a development that would include 124 units for residents, making anywhere from about 25 to 60% of the area median income. About one quarter of those units would be reserved for formerly unhoused individuals and families. And the city council, in a narrow vote, gave the project its blessing in May. But neighbors in Woodlake, they're still very concerned about it.
Nick, what are your thoughts about this?
There's such a so Woodlake is a more a wealthier enclave within District 2, and I'm really curious too as we continue to listen and do some follow up reporting with our community advisory committee that we've established in North Sacramento, and then just talking to other residents, how other residents who are in less affluent neighborhoods feel about projects like this, like in Del Paso Heights, Hagenwood, Strawberry Manor, along Noralto. Because the feedback I heard during these meetings is they're concerned about, you know, young people's exposures to unhoused communities and like how that makes them feel about their neighborhood. There's also some concern about, you know, I don't know if this bears out in the evidence, but there's concern about the danger of young people going to school or going to after school programs near unhoused communities. And we don't really have data that demonstrates that that is a threat or something that's of immediate concern. But it's a real feeling in the communities. I talked to a lot of business members, like a woman who owns a supermarket near the border of Northgate and Noralto along the Greenbelt. And a lot of people will come into the supermarket who are unhoused and they just need like basic services, essential services and help. So I'm really curious as Chris continues his reporting and as we learn more and this project, which is planned and approved and scheduled, we'll see if it actually comes to fruition. You know, how these other community members feel about it who may not have like the wealth and class privilege of the folks in Woodlake.
Yeah, Chris, and this is going alongside Sacramento County's unhoused population has just surged.
It has. And, you know, there's no doubt that today people are probably more frustrated than ever by the amount of homeless encampments. And also they're you know, upset about this housing shortage. We have the shortage of affordable housing. They're cited as some of California's top concerns. But as I found in my reporting, that doesn't necessarily mean that they want these solutions right in their backyard. A lot of the times they say they just want them somewhere else, a little further down the road. And looking to the future, Sacramento County, it has a shortfall of nearly 60,000 affordable homes for its lowest income renters. That's according to a recent report by the California Housing Partnership. And the county is also short several thousand homeless shelter spaces. Those are typically full on any given night. And so while we're probably going to see neighborhood groups continue to speak up about their concerns on new development, especially when these large, dense new projects are proposed, you hear from housing advocates and advocates for people experiencing homelessness that the region really needs this big, huge wave of new construction of affordable housing just to meet the basic existing needs.
Yeah, and Chris, we're talking right now about North Sacramento, but these are issues that impact so many residents beyond even just the city of Sacramento. But in your reporting, how does this story affect all Sacramento residents in the city?
So I think that the issue of neighborhoods opposing affordable housing, I think that affects Sacramento and its residents in a couple of different ways. One, that resistance, including the lawsuits that sometimes pop up, those can delay a project. It can scale down a project or in some cases even defeat it. And that means it takes longer to create Sacramento's needed affordable housing. It also means that people, maybe younger people getting into the housing market or the rental market, they have to pay higher prices for that existing limited stock of housing. I spoke with UC Berkeley affordable housing expert Carol Galante. She weighed in on what this neighborhood opposition can mean for a project.
Well, the big picture is one, then the costs go up significantly. So even if that development ultimately happens, you know, it can take 5 years, you know, 8 years to resolve the issues, resolve the lawsuits. And that means, you know, construction costs are going up 10 or plus percent a year in the past number of years. And so then you need more funding to make it happen. And then that increases the housing affordability crisis.
Yeah, I mean, this issue isn't in a vacuum. It has ripple effects that ultimately affects everyone. Finally, Nick, this is just one story in a series that's going to be unveiled this week. Tell us about the other stories you're working on.
Yeah, that's right. Residents surfaced a variety of other issues, Vicky, including everything from feeling that they historically are not represented at City Hall. And we were seeing that bear out again here with the city's investigation into current council member Sean Lalowe, who is being accused of not living in the district, being accused of living in Granite Bay, but also like wanting more investment in young people to create more opportunities for young people and also to curb youth violence. So we're going to have a story Monday through Thursday this week that focuses on these issues. And again, the residents in the community surface these issues with us, and now our reporters are out doing the work.
I'm just curious. My last question, you and Chris have been local journalists and residents in Sacramento for quite a while. You said yourself when you led with this that you haven't really embarked on something like this before in journalism. I'm curious what surprised you most with this project, diving into North Sacramento and listening to residents' concerns and solutions that they would like to see in their backyard.
It's really fun to me. I love the intent of it, right? I love that, you know, we're in a very deliberate way going to community members and asking them, hey, tell us what issues matter to you and tell us which ones you want us to prioritize. And then we're going to go out and do the work for you. I mean, I always say as journalists, we're in the service industry, too. And this is sort of like an essential form of that public service.
How about you, Chris?
I think it's just the complexity of these issues. I mean, we've reported for years now on the needs when it comes to affordable housing and homelessness, but that doesn't mean neighborhoods, individuals want a cookie cutter solution. They, you know, the solution has to be planned out. It has to be tailored to a neighborhood. Otherwise, you know, they will oppose it and they'll make it very difficult for that project to succeed. And so I've really learned a lot listening to the North Sac residents about getting the right project for the right neighborhood.
Chris and Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Becky.
And that is Cap Radio Managing Editor of News, Nick Miller, and Cap Radio reporter, Chris Nichols. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.